Well, this is Sunday morning, 8:20, and what I'm going to bring this morning, I kind of need to recap a little bit for y'all to know where I'm coming from, so we're going to try to do that real quick. Last week, we learned about changing your thoughts, changing your master. Isaiah 55:7, let's turn there right quick. I'll try to do this quickly so we can get into the second part. Just a few little scriptures to kind of get you on the same page. Isaiah 55:7. Verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So, what he's saying here is God wants us to think like him. And what gets us into trouble is when our thoughts do not line up with his thoughts. He said, "Let the wicked man forsake his thoughts." And I've already brought that up about, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So our problem in life is not, I need more of this or I need to do something else. It's changing our thought processes. Because we have lived in a world that has propagandized us through television, through social media, movies. We're taking in stuff, whether we realize it or not. A lot of it's subliminal. And we're forming into a mindset that's anti-God. Just look around you. You see people that have a good take on things, young people going into college and coming out as Nazis. What's happening? They're being programmed. And this is Satan's, that's the way he does it. His propaganda machine, Mockingbird Media. Now you can understand the propaganda, that it has been the beast system's method to control the world through the thoughts of men. This is what propaganda is. The spreading of ideas, information, or rumor for the purpose of helping or injuring an institution, a cause, or a person. Ideas, facts, or allegations spread deliberately to further one's cause or to damage an opposing cause. That's why you see everywhere they keep pushing the corona when there isn't even any virus. It dissipates at 47 degrees. And we're at 100 degrees here. Everybody's walking around like a dummy wearing a mask. In their cars, by themselves, wearing a mask. With the windows up. Why would you think they would do that? Because they hear it everywhere. And they keep pushing it and they keep pushing. I saw something yesterday on my Apple News. "Well, the coronavirus is never going away," and blah, blah, blah. I said, "Oh, heck no. We got to counter that stuff and say, no, you're going down. You're doing it because I said so in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit behind that in the name of Jesus and tell you to get out of here. Not in my domain. We don't have a mask policy in Texas. We're open 100%. None of that stuff. We got to all get in agreement. We all have to say the same thing. We cannot buy into this narrative and let it win. That's what they've been doing to us our whole lives, y'all. Your thinking processes. Jesus saved your spirit. It's perfect. Doesn't need any help. It's perfect. It's this. But you control this. You control this. Just what Amber said. Renew your mind. Renew the man. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by its new ideas and new attitudes, so that you can know the will of God. Romans 12:1-2. As a born-again Christian, the first thing that you need to do, if you want to know what God wants you to do, is renew your mind. Let's just turn there. That's where the Holy Spirit wants us to go, so we'll just go there. This is Romans chapter 12. After you get born again and filled with the Spirit, this is what we are to pursue. says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. A lot of people live and die and never know God's will. You know why? They've never renewed their mind to find out. I was 35, really, about 35 years old before I ever really started doing this. And I mean, I jumped in. And it wasn't very long the Lord began to speak to me. First teacher, then pastor, then some other things. But we have, this is our responsibility as Christians to do that. It's not up to the fivefold ministry gift to do it for you. They bring the word. But it's up to you to pursue this. If you want God's will in your life, then get in the book. Because you're thinking like the world. You will never come to God's conclusion or His ways by thinking like the world. You'll come into the devil's way of things, like everybody else. The same old slippery slope is sending people to hell at this very moment. But when you get in the Word, He begins to show you, this is what I want you to do. Just think about the billions and trillions of dollars that would be saved if these kids coming out of high school would get their minds renewed and find out what God had asked them to do. I don't know. There's lots of people just have empty degrees they never use, and lots of school loans to have to pay off to have gone and learned nothing, really, just to say they got a degree. And they hate what they do. God wants you to love what you do. He made you to do certain things. He gives you His grace to enable you to do it. And then you're happy in it. That's why a body of Christ that is done this way, they will be a force to be reckoned with. They'll be happy. They won't be griping. Because they'll be doing just what God called them to do, because they're unique and they don't have to do what everybody else does. They have one purpose and one call to do what they do. And you don't have to listen to somebody tell you you're doing it wrong. And even if you do, you can think, well, I don't care. You didn't hire me. You didn't call me. God called me. You can't tell me that God hadn't this or that. I listened to a guy one day saying, well, if you're a woman preacher, you're a demonic, satanic pedophile. And I thought, you're so full of crap. And I thought, well, you know, he didn't call me. I don't answer to him. Who cares what he says? He's wrong. Messed up young man. You get what I say? God has called everybody. We've all got something special He wants us to do. And it's our duty to find out what it is. That means you're going to have to turn some stuff off. It says present your bodies as a living sacrifice, because after you're born again, you become His, and He has something for you to do. Okay. All right. God saw in Genesis 6:5, this is the scripture, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. How come it was so wicked? That every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. This is what I'm talking about. His thought, every man's thought processes were so perverted. Oh my goodness. Okay. We see in Isaiah 55:7 the answer. The answer is, let the wicked man forsake his thoughts, and the unrighteous man his ways. Because as you think in your heart, so are you. So wherever you are thinking in your mind, you'll eventually act on. It's just a given. That's why they call premeditated. Stuff that's premeditated. You think on it. Before you know it, you're there and you did it. Okay. Noah's a man that walked by faith in his generation. He was the last man standing. He wasn't like them, Noah, Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So Satan is after your mind. He is after your thought life. He wants to control your thoughts from the time you get up until the time you go to bed. That's his aim, because that is how he's going to get his agenda. See, in Genesis 1 and 2, Satan saw God create. He saw the darkness and he said, light be. And Satan saw that, and in Isaiah 14, he said, I'm going to exalt myself above God. Well, it didn't happen. He kicked him out of heaven. Didn't happen. Wasn't happening in heaven. There's divine order in heaven. Well, we got to have that order here, see. This is what the kingdom of God is. This is that order coming here. But anyway, he is trying to pollute the minds of men so that he can get men to use their faith in the opposite, to do bad things. I want you to tell your testimony right quick, if you'll come up here, about the job that you didn't get. We didn't know anything about faith.
Can I pause this?
I guess so. Okay. So, you can see why Satan's propaganda machine. He wants his word going in your ears and in your eyes all the time. So whenever a situation comes, you speak exactly what he wants you to. Oh, we'll never get rid of the coronavirus. We'll have to wear masks for the rest of our life. I'm going, No. I choose to say what I want. No. There's a no mask policy here in Texas. We don't have to wear masks here. We do not have to have any shutdowns of any kind. Everybody's open for business 100%. We've got the best economy in the whole country. We can't agree with what we're hearing, and it's everywhere. But it's your choice. That's how God made us. After he spoke, you know, he made the earth and it was great, and something happened to the earth. It was covered in water over there. So there was a flood before the flood. The devil had been there. What happened again? He got, in 10 generations, he got the earth to the point of extinction. Why? Because every thought of the man was evil continually. What puts thoughts in your mind? The stuff you hear. Commercials are filled with sickness and disease and every negative thing that you can. Even on my television program, before my program comes on, they show commercials with homosexuals kissing each other. You know, that's what he wants for your life. That's what he wants. That's why we have to renew our minds with the Word of God to counter what Satan has infiltrated. That's all we learn in school. It's getting worse every year as far as children in school. We're speaking that in the millennial reign, there will be nothing that harms or hurts in all this holy mountain. The Word of God's going to reign where sin abounded, grace is going to much more abound. So that is what kind of what last week we were looking at. Let me see if there's anything else. God has given man, just like in the garden, after God changed everything, he brought Adam before him, or he paraded the animals before Adam to see what he would call them. He didn't tell Adam what to call them. He gave Adam the right to name the animals, and he said, whatever Adam said, that's what they were. A hippopotamus. That's what it is. Because that's what Adam called it. So when you've got problems in your life, don't blame God. You've called it. I can guarantee you, you've called it. Either you're conscious of it or you're not conscious of it. But there's hope here today. You can begin today saying, well, I'm going to speak to my mountains, not speak about my mountains. Go around telling everybody your problems, and there you just go into pieces every time something happens. See, that's talking your problems. That's not speaking to your problems. Paul and Silas, when they were in the jail, their backs were beat up. They were in stocks, and it said they didn't do any complaining, but they sang praises. And when they did, the angel showed up and shook the prison, and their bonds fell off. They learned the secret. They learned. That's how you neutralize the enemy. The angels work for us. We're the heirs of salvation. They hearken, Psalms 103:20. They hearken unto the voice of His word. We send angels on assignment. So Amber and I were talking about it yesterday. Every day, before I go anywhere, I bind the devil. I bind the strong man. And I tell him he will cease and desist in his maneuvers against me. I send the angels, the spiritual war attack teams, to go and surround the perimeter. Wherever I go, I will be safe. I'll have the favor of God. Not with everybody. I don't need favor with everybody, but just the people that I need to have favor with. That's the people that I will have favor with today. They will not look at me when I don't wear a mask, and they will not ask me anything. We might as well be saying what we want. This is what's changing the landscape. We have lists, page after page of supplements that we speak over our nation, and we're seeing things change. Been doing this 6 years. We are seeing rules, regulations, and laws change our advantage. I've been to the Lord before about stuff. I mean, I was so sick 1 week that I couldn't hardly eat, and I was just so disturbed about things. Just every minute was either reading or praying. I was just in torment. And the Lord says, change the law. Oh, I was wanting Him to do something. He said, no. Change the law to what you want. Now, you don't have to tell everybody or tell anybody. These are the decrees you make. This is what you do. This is what's changing our nation. People like us that are getting in their authority and know that they're just like God and they're acting like God and they're doing what God did. And that's how we're going to change this earth. Not by the fist. Not by getting committees together and writing letters and getting in people's faces. No. I can sit right in my chair in my office and I can say all kinds of things and nobody ever hears me. And I don't get thrown in jail for it. That's how He made us to fight our battles. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. That means they're not flesh and blood. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Right here. Whatever's coming against you, is it against this? Cast it down. Because it's not casting down that causes the strongholds to build up in your mind. It convinces you of what you don't want. Just like Him speaking. Well, Lord, I want that job, but I won't get it. No, I'll never get it. No, no, no. Charlie will get it. No, no, no. It's a law that we set in motion for evil or for good. Okay, let me look here. So Satan's a trickster. He knows personally that he is not God class. We are made in the image and likeness of God. We have been given the measure of faith. And it says, Mark 11:22 says, the God kind of faith, not just our human faith, but God's faith. We're being given a measure of His faith to do exactly what He did. So we don't really have an excuse here. But the devil will try to trick people by hearing it over and over. They just beat the same old dead drum. Impeach, impeach, Russia, Russia. You just till you feel like you're going to scream if you hear it again, you just think, I can't stand to hear that again. But we've got to counter those wicked things and those thoughts. They have to be countered with the Word of God. It's a discipline. To not let anything slip by and not let Him get in, the slithery snake that is. All right. Most people are just speaking. They get on board with the negative and they speak the negative and they get it. And they wonder why God won't help them and God won't do something. It's all thrown in God's lap when God said, I've given the earth to man. I've given you dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air. We were supposed to take the earth and dominate the earth from the garden outward. And we're not going to get to do that for 1,000 years. Okay. All right, I looked at healing last week. We're not going to go into the second teaching. We're just going to stay with this one. Since Madison's here, I'll go on with this with the healing and Amber. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. So this is already an established fact in God's word that Jesus paid for our healing by his stripes. That's established. He took on his back all of that before he went to the cross. Okay, for all time, for all diseases, it doesn't matter. Even if new ones come up. All right, if this is the truth, what is coming against us? If that's true, what's really coming against us? If Jesus paid for all sickness, for all time, all diseases, then what comes against us? Thoughts. I heard Kenneth Copeland say this one time. He said, pain is a thought. Matthew 15 talks about it's not what goes in the man that defiles him, but what comes out of his heart. That heart there is your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. So it's what is defiling the man. It's his belief. Not what's physically going on, but his belief. Okay. Thoughts. Isaiah says, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Our spiritual weapons are to counter a thought. Casting down every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's that thought that says, no, you're not healed. You got a pain right here. You got a... You understand that? It's very simple, really, when you get down to it. It does not mean you really are something wrong with you. It means the devil's pulling your chain. He's trying to convince you of something that you already know. The word says that you're healed. Jesus already did it. It's not a promise. It's already done. It's available. It's like going to Walgreens and buying a prescription. It's already done. It's already available. It's already at your disposal. But it takes you believing it. All right, this is another statement by Brother Copeland that was really good. He said, we serve our thoughts. You get in that funk and you get those negative thoughts to go on, you serve them thoughts. But on the other side of it, you get built up and you get to thinking on the right thing, you'll have a great day. It just, attitude determines altitude. That is absolutely the truth, and that is something, a choice we have to make. And that is the only fight that a Christian will ever fight, the good fight of faith. It's casting down those thoughts. Exalts themselves against the knowledge of God. What we already know to be true, what we already know is established. It's not going to be, it is established. You just choose whether you're going to believe it. When you go to the doctor and he says you have this or that, do you believe it? It's the same thing. Same thing. But you say to Dr. Jesus, I believe what you did. That's just an example. That's for healing, but you can use it in any area. All right, with these thoughts come feelings. Well, I don't feel like it, or I don't. What has that got to do with anything? It doesn't have anything to do with anything. We don't walk by feelings, we walk by faith. Faith has no feelings. Just like there's no crying in baseball, there's no feelings in faith. No feelings in faith. Okay, feelings are a product of the five senses. Peter saw the winds and the waves, but he was out there walking on the water just like Jesus. They say, well, only Jesus walked on the water. Not so. Peter did too. But he saw the wind, boisterous, and he sunk. Did he serve his thoughts? Yeah. Well, in faith and, you know, in the positive and in the negative, his thoughts. All he saw first was Jesus. He walked right on out on the water. And then all of a sudden he saw the wind, and then he saw the waves, and then down he went. He sunk. Jesus pulled him up and says, where's your faith? Okay. James tells us what to do with our thoughts. Resist them. This is James. Chapter 4. Verse 6 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Who's the humble? The ones that believe by faith. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can. I will. Satan said in Isaiah 14 five times, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. God says, you won't, you won't, you won't, you won't, you won't. You'll go down to the pit. Why? Because he couldn't operate by faith. He was an angel. Angels are not even allowed salvation. They don't understand it. They desire to look into it. And they say, Lord, what's man that you're mindful of him? They don't understand. All they know, they're messengers. They're messengers to do, act when we speak the word of God. It sends them on assignments. They hearken to the voice of his word, it says. They're his servants, his messengers. But we are friends. God wanted friends. That's why he gave us the same ability that he has to act like he acts, to dominate like he acts, to have his will in earth as it is in heaven. That's what started all this for us back 6 years ago, was praying the Lord's Prayer. Lord, we want your kingdom to come. Jesus told the disciples, pray this prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my body as it is in earth. In the United States of America as it is in earth. Huh? I'm sorry. As it is in heaven. In earth as it is in heaven. You notice there's no problem in heaven? The first sign of rebellion, guess what? God kicked them out. Satan and a third of his angels. That's what we're putting up with. Thank you. That's what we're putting up with. What God kicked out, said, no. But we have the same ability and authority to do what God did and kick the devil out of our country, out of our bodies, out of our homes. Okay. I told about last week about Brother Hagin. Probably Brother Hagin walked in the Word of Faith higher than anybody that I know of and read after. He's the only one that the Lord has ever told me that if I needed wisdom in an area, I could consult his books. I have most of them. He's the only one. Brother Hagin was very simple in his teaching. And he had a very strong love walk, very strong in his love walk. But there was a guy, the last pastors we really had, there was a man that came to the church that had been on Brother Hagin's board, and someone asked him, you asked him, what was his greatest attribute? And it was that he really guarded his thoughts, really carefully guarded his thoughts. Because, you know, Satan is subtle. He tries to get in on you, interject things, and do things. But he learned to do that, and he walked very highly. He nearly died when he was 15. He died three times and came back. But he never, I think one time he was at a meeting, and he leaped over something, and he fell on his elbow and broke his arm. He had to go to the hospital. They did a surgery, but at all those years, he died at what, 80, 86, never went to the doctor, never sick. God raised him up off of that bed when he was 15. Never needed to. He said, I would have taken aspirin if I needed it, just never needed it. But he was real careful in his words. He guarded his thoughts, and he was very developed, very highly in his love walk. There's a book he wrote called Love the Way to Victory. He talks about going to a church where this man had a nice brick church, which was really unheard of. I mean, really just the nicest, because most of them are little wood church houses. Anyway, this pastor had a nice brick church and a nice brick home. But when he came, he was going to be there 2 weeks to minister. He put him in the chicken coop to sleep. He said he didn't even clean the droppings off of the bed. But he said, I didn't say anything. I didn't call the district on him. He chose. He saw that walking in love and keeping that trap shut when you want to just vent on people and just rip them a new one because you are fed up with what they're doing. He chose to forgive them. And this is a lot of the power he had in his life, because faith works by love. There was another one where he and his wife went, and they were going to be there all week, and they rolled into town, their gas tank on empty, not a dime in their pocket for food. And this couple, there was nothing in the house but a hot dog, a piece of stale bread, and an egg. That's it in the whole house. And they would come in late and leave early before they got up, and they never offered them any food or anything. And he wanted so bad to call the district and have those people kicked out of that church and all that stuff. And he'd start to dial the phone. He said, and the love of God would constrain me. I just couldn't do it. But then, long about 3 or 4 days, whenever they thought their throat was cut, they were so hungry, a deacon came to the back door and he said, how are you folks doing? He said, I got a freezer back here on my back porch. It's full of meat and vegetables. You just come over here and get whatever you want. And that's how the Lord fed them. See, love had to make the call. We can't be this nasty and expect our faith to work. It just isn't going to do it. That's why when unlovely things happen, you have to say, Lord, I forgive them. Love is blind. Well, in a sense, what that means is love doesn't hold evil, the evil that's been done, against it. Let's read that. This is 1 Corinthians 13. All right. Let's just start with verse 1 of chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, which is love, I have become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. So love never fails. So because he chose to suffer at the hands of others and not hold that against them like Jesus. Jesus had that kind. God so loved the world that he gave his son. That's God's love. Then he walked in a high state of faith. He would not let an unlovely thought, you know how you can just be, I can be praying even at night, and sometimes things that people have done to me come up to me, and there's a lot. I've had a lot of people do a lot of ugly things to me. But you can either entertain that and get all down in the mouth about it, or you can say, you know what, I'm going to let that go and forgive them. All right. We want to break the strongholds of the enemies out of our life, and that's the goal here today. Because we're living in a world that we could be bombarded every second with something. That's how much evil has come into the earth, and how much through social media you can hear the wrong stuff everywhere. But you can hear the right stuff too. And we've got to choose the right stuff. Okay. I think that's... Psalms 8:2. We'll look at Psalms 8:2 right quick. This is how you get a bad attitude over to a good attitude. Like Paul and Silas in the jail, facing after being beaten and beaten stocks, they had to get out of that situation, so they began to praise the Lord. This is Psalms 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Is that in Matthew?
21:16.
Matthew 21:16 says the strength there is praise. So they chose to praise the Lord, and because they did, instead of giving in to their circumstances, saying, well, bless God, get my attorney, this is against my rights. You know, we can choose to pull the law out, or we can choose to praise the love law. It changes things. It's powerful. And I think that's what's going to win the people of today. I've seen one little girl in particular that I've talked about that has the green hair and she wears black glasses, and she was very liberal, probably Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and all that. And she started seeing the stuff about the children, and she has gotten awakened, and she is starting to get on there and talk about, you know, like she's been doing this all her life. She just totally, and she said, I just feel such love from this community. Talking about those that support Q, those that love God, those that are the patriots, are trying to save our country and all that kind of stuff. It's like they welcomed her with open arms, and it's like it loved her out of the lies that she was in. And that's what it's going to take, because Jesus didn't come with a whip. He came with doing good. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That was his mission, and that's what our mission is here today too. We're not here to whip people in line. We're here to share the truth if someone will allow us to. And if they don't like it, they don't want to hear it, then you just shake the dust off your feet and go to somebody else. Don't force it on anybody. And for those that are in those situations, that's where love comes in. We need to be compassionate because they're blinded. The God of this world has blinded their minds so that they cannot see the knowledge of the truth, the gospel. Okay, I'm going to end there. I think that'll...